What's good, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2019. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by the most beautiful hair in the business, Fran Mirabella III.
Thanks, Andrea. I'm happy to be with you here today on what I call Frandria Friday.
That's right.
Yes, the powers have combined today, so I'm super excited. It's been a while.
It has.
3 weeks, 2 weeks, I don't know. It's been a while.
I know. I get to see you on Gamescast all the time now. So
not to dig into the news, which there's some decent stuff today.
Exactly. So were you up late last night playing The Division 2, getting ready for the drop today?
I was not, unfortunately. I feel like I've done most of it, but I do have to like get rid of all my stash stuff and sell some items. But I was not feeling great, so I'm catching up on the Marvel Universe stuff. So I watched Civil War.
Very nice.
That
good
was a
choice.
Good flick right there. So now I move on to either Homecoming or something around there next.
Homecoming has surprised me. I waited almost a full year to watch it.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just couldn't go during opening weekend, and then I just kept putting it off and putting it off, and then I finally watched it and was like, hey, this movie's really good.
Turns out everybody was right. It is really good. So, but no, I'm pretty prepared for today. I heard you and Greg played Division 2 this morning.
We did. As we discussed, yes, we got up this morning. I've been up since 5:30, loaded all the new updates in. So it wasn't too long of a wait, which was great.
Oh, there was a queue?
No, I didn't have a queue. I mean to download and install the patch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you are much stronger than I am. Like I received the invite from them, by the way, and I was just like, I just can't. One part of it is I'm still feeling a little sick, but as I mentioned on Gamescast the other day, I was like, when I sink my teeth into Tier 5, I want to keep going, even though maybe there's not a ton to do or whatever. But meaning, it was like, what, you spent 90 minutes playing this morning, right?
Yeah, so we spent, it took me about 4 hours, roughly, last night to go from World Tier 2 gear score 340 to World Tier 4 gear score 450, 444.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
So you're totally ready, though, and sounds like
absolutely.
It went smoothly, huh?
Yeah, so we all went in like pretty much max level, which was great. And the new stronghold is super fun.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go play it again and again and again. Got to grind for that gear.
So that came out this morning. Was that the most apparent update in there? Was there anything else that was noticeable to you? Or was it just, hey, this area? Like, in other words, are there a couple missions and then the stronghold? Or is it?
So after we beat the stronghold, some things changed in the world, which I'll, since it's brand new, I'll leave for discovery. But then there was a lot of little quality of life changes that we noticed that were nice. Like, for example, the mods. Now the mods just have a positive benefit for your weapons.
Yeah, they
There's
got
no
rid
negative.
Of the
and I was
thing
like,
that
thank
you, brought
you.
Up. Yeah.
This is the best. Because why does that have to be a negative? Because I just stopped using the weapon mods.
Really? It was just, yeah. I mean, it's I got the intent, but it was just way too, like, polar opposite kind of effect.
Right,
and you're like,
exactly.
That seems really harsh to lose 30% of my accuracy just for a little stability or whatever. And so,
yeah, agreed. So I'm glad they got rid of that.
Out,
And then on the map, when you're playing with squad mates versus, or excuse me, clan mates versus just somebody
the
in your squad,
there's
a little shield icon inside their player because it used to just be like a little target, right?
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It was like a dot and then like
oh, you
like
mean
the target
on the overworld
logo.
Map? Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a blue dot target.
So now it's like a little shield inside the circle.
A little easier to spot. Yeah, because bounties look like that too.
Right.
And then I don't know if they changed it yet, but right, elite enemies are yellow or named enemies are like exotic color yellow. They were supposed to change the name bar in the clan. I don't know if you saw because you're in what's good versus kind of funny, but I'm curious if they changed that. I think they were supposed to, but it's very confusing when you're going up against the enemies. You see a yellow run by, you're like, oh, it's just Greg, because the name floating above them.
Oh, I know what you mean. I think I just didn't notice it because we were, I think
you're not
we're
on
just
the same
blue
clan.
Now. Yeah.
That's right. Well, you wouldn't see is unless you're on the same clan.
Right.
But
well,
Greg,
so there was 3 agents of WGG in our squad this morning, and then Greg.
I wonder what color it was. You probably didn't even notice.
I did not.
Yeah, which is fine. But I hope that change made it in. They were talking about it, but that sounds good. I can't wait to get on there later today.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, now that we've been done talking about the Division 2.
It's our Division podcast for today.
Welcome to Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, live at 10 a.m. Pacific time, right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where we bring you the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you are watching live, we ask that you help keep keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and let us know what we screw up as we screw it up. Factual information only, please. And for everyone watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or on podcast services around the globe, thank you for your support. Maybe if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, you could do that. We would love that. Or you could leave us a review. We'd like that too. Please make it nice. It's Friday. No one wants to be angry. Right, Fran?
No, I'm chilling.
And of course,
chill Friday.
Fran, if you want to take it one step further, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and be part of the show where you can write in with your questions, your concerns, your squad ups.
Yes.
I've got a very interesting
one. You want to play with some other best friends.
Exactly. All right. So the three big stories that we're talking about today, VR and Nintendo, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are under investigation. And Kaz Hirai has finally given the day that he's going to say adieu to Sony. All right, Fan, shall we get into it? We've got three items on the Roper Report.
Well, hold on. There's still some housekeeping today, yeah?
Dang it, Barrett.
Hey, she had to wake up at 5:30 a.m. I'm right there with
sleepy.
Her.
Okay, housekeeping today. Thank you for reminding me. There's this little thing happening in New York. There's a reason why no one is in the office today, and Fran and I are holding it down. That's right. New York, it's your turn for the Kinda Funny World Tour, 3 p.m. Eastern Time at Bar Morningside Heights. You can go there and have some drinks and meet a lot of best friends. How many people do you think are going to show up, Barrett?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot. Ease.
Give me a number. Let's have like a little guess.
Like at least 10.
Come on.
Well, okay. By Price is Right rules, you probably have a safe bet. I'm going to guess
11.
That there will be 267 people that show up.
Wow. That's an exact.
That's like a big wedding.
Yeah. That is a very big one. That'd be a very expensive wedding.
Yeah, it would be. But that's like, you know, some big weddings are a couple hundred, but you breach 200. It's like, holy cow.
Man, that price per plate.
Yeah, that's right.
Can't do it.
Oh, yeah. There will be plated food and like there's a dance and a DJ.
Greg's not buying you guys food at the meetup.
No, he's not.
No. But he won't even buy you a drink, probably.
Go hang out. Yeah, that's not necessarily true. We might. Wow, we're really throwing Greg under the bus this morning.
That's okay.
But yeah, check out Ease Bar at 3 p.m., which is in the Morningside Heights area, apparently.
And I didn't know where that was. Joey had to explain it to me yesterday.
Yeah.
Apparently it's by Columbia.
Yeah.
There you go. Google it. Find it. Go.
They live there. They don't need to.
Well, maybe if somebody's driving in from New Hampshire or Vermont or Boston.
Florida.
Or Florida. That'd be a long drive.
Stranger things have happened.
You should maybe take a flight instead. Save yourself the time. All right. We're done talking about the meetup. You guys heard about it. If you want more details, I believe the website is kindoffunny.com/events.
Yep.
Hooray, I got the thing right. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've got to say thank you to our lovely Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Blackjack, James Davis, and Muhammad. What's up, Momo? And today, we're brought to you by 23andMe and Skillshare, but we're going to tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
It's time for some news.
Barrett, I kind of want you to keep going until you get it right.
Yeah, there's no, like, variety there. He's like, he's broken.
Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
I'm proud of you, Barrett. Good job. All right. So like, to begin, Breath of the Wild is getting a full VR support later this month, including Mario Odyssey. They're also getting a VR mode, too. So this write-up comes from Matt Robinson over at Eurogamer. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild would be fully playable in virtual reality via the soon-to-be-released Labo VR kit later this month on Nintendo Switch. And it'll be joined by Super Mario Odyssey, which is getting its own smaller VR mode. No, it's not April 1st, and no, I have no idea how it'll actually work. Though given the updates to both games coming April 26th with Labo VR coming out on the 12th, there really isn't that long to find out. Super Mario Odyssey offers a bite-sized mode, which has players revisiting the Cap Seaside and Luncheon Kingdoms with small cordoned-off challenges in which players collect coins and musical notes. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, meanwhile, promises full VR support, which can be toggled on or off at any point in the game by dipping into the options menu. How exactly will it work, given that the base game runs at 30 frames per second, and that the Labo VR requires you to hold it up to your face at all times, and that the Switch's screen already offers a fairly slim 720p resolution that'll be split in half via VR? Question mark? I have no idea. Though given how impressed I was by my initial time with Labo VR, writes Matt, of course, or excuse me, Martin, I'm optimistic there'll be some Nintendo magic that'll help make it work.
Yep. Yeah, I was just looking at the official page, refreshing my memory. I think it's like it looks like it's $80 for this complete kit, which has these VR goggles in them. And yeah, one of the
It's basically Google Cardboard, right?
Well, yeah, kind of. Like what you just slide your phone into. I mean, it is. It's the same concept, but you just slide switch in there. But then, yeah, to your point, that actually I didn't think about till you said it. The way you said it, but it's like, it's a picture of a kid doing this. So one hand's free and he's like holding up the cardboard. And I'm like, well, that you have to hold it up. I mean, like, so it's a one-handed experience, right?
This is a terrible idea.
Well, come on. I mean,
I'm family friendly. So the Super
like,
Mario
simple.
Odyssey bite-sized modes, I could be in for.
Yeah.
There has to be some kind of strap. How are you supposed to play one-handed Zelda with the Pro Controller unless they give out, you know, like some kind of
I guess it would support the Pro Controller, but like it wouldn't work. You're gonna have to use the Joy-Con.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
that's
right?
True. Well, can you play Zelda with just one Joy-Con?
Well, but these are these little, oh yeah, that's right, the whole experience is
like, I mean like a one-handed Joy-Con instead of turning it sideways.
So maybe there is a way to, I mean, you just read it. I didn't notice that before. And then I am looking on here and it's, you're right, it's the picture of this kid holding it up and like using one controller. So I don't know if there's a way to mount it or basically you just lay on your bed, problem solved.
I saw him lay on your bed. I did notice that there was one of the Labo VR kits that had a little cardboard head strap around it. I think the concept of Legend of Zelda in VR is really cool.
Yeah.
I can imagine like going into all of the different areas of the world and checking everything out. I think in VR, the idea of it being in VR sounds really awesome. The practicality of it sounds wild.
Right. So it's more like, it wasn't Moss. It was, squirrel.
I think you are thinking of Moss.
Was it Moss?
The little mouse?
No, there was the other one that came out that was like, it wasn't like Conker, but it was for
Oculus.
Oh,
you're thinking of Super Lucky Tale.
Yeah, Super Lucky Tale. But you, in that game, you were sort of God mode, goggles looking down. Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that how Zelda VR works? Because like I doubt you're in there with a sword walking around Hyrule.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm surprised that it's coming out April 12th, which is right?
Yeah, it's very soon.
And
that's when Labo is coming out. So I was curious about Martin's time, and he said my initial time with Labo VR, and there was like a link to his other piece on Eurogamer, and so I clicked on it, and he was talking about how all of the, on paper, would seem that Labo VR would not be great, but that somehow when he put it on, it actually looked pretty good.
So he did
of
put
course,
it on.
Yes, not Breath of the Wild, but not Mario Odyssey, the other software that they're promoting for Labo VR. So I was skeptical before. I'm even more skeptical now. The idea of holding the headset up to my face and trying to play with a single controller while playing Mario or Zelda, just, it seems a little asinine to me, and I don't understand.
Yeah, no, frankly, it seems very Nintendo. They look through their lenses a little differently.
Oh,
and
Fran.
I know, I'm really trying this morning. But they do. they see the world in a different way, and for them, I think they're like, well, this is, like, people don't want to strap on a headset and be, like, confined, and, like, we want it to be an easy, like, family-friendly thing, and I think this is their starting point. Now, we'll find out, and you're wrong, maybe there's a way to, like, but which, by the way, it's cardboard. It'll be very easy to make a strap out of a shoelace, probably. So you could, I mean, you got to hold up the Switch somehow because it's heavy. But anyway, it is odd, but it does seem very first entry for Nintendo. But I don't know. There's the other fact of what you're bringing up. Like the resolution is low, which is pretty critical in VR. I haven't, you know, seen through the lenses, but I feel like it'll be one of those, like, if you haven't tried it, check it out. And if you're 7, which by the way, right, they don't recommend PSVR for, it's a certain age. It's not as young as that, I don't think.
Last time I checked, and this is a great kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong moment, I thought like 12 or 13 was the minimum age
due
to
like
the spacing on
the
head.
Because CJ Gibson, who works at IGN, has like his very cute kids, and they like came in to do like a feature, and like they're playing it. And by the way, they're fine. Like he's their father, and they played it, and they're fine. But he got a lot of comments like, "How could you let your kids play that?" Because they say
he's a monster.
Well, you do have to be careful because if you have this stuff on too long, it could cause eye strain. It could cause developmental problems. Could. It's one of those like could, and we grew up. doing all kinds of crazy stuff. True. And look how we turned out. See, we didn't have all these luxuries.
I just thought that they couldn't actually get the images to line up properly and that it would always be like out of focus if your eyes weren't spaced far enough apart for the lenses to line up.
Oh, yeah, well, it certainly is that too. But I think it has something to do with just like the... Just it is intense on your mind. It really is.
Of course. Yeah.
But regardless, I think that is exactly why this is very, you know, almost predictable for Nintendo. They don't want you wearing it for a long time.
But like, what's the point of that though? With like Breath of the Wild, that's a game that you want to sit down and play for several hours at a time, right?
That's the piece I don't. Well, yes. Firstly, the piece I don't understand though is the Mario slice of Mario Odyssey. Okay, I get that. And you see it in the trailer. It's like literally it is more like Super Lucky Tale or Lucky Tale. I think there's both maybe.
Yeah, so but, I think the Super Lucky's Tale was the flat version. And I think Lucky's Tale was the VR version.
Okay, but the point is it's really cool. You're like looking down on the world. And in the trailer for Super Mario Odyssey, what happens is, yeah, you're sort of like off to the side. It looks like they're positioning the camera in a particular spot. That's you in the VR goggles. Mario even runs up to you and looks at you in one of the shots. So I think they've taken little slices of the level, and yeah, I even see it's like you're chasing notes in like a path,
see,
which you can
cool.
just do, and you can do it with one hand, and then you jump once to go up the. So you're not going to need a couple sticks for that one, because when you it looks so far like you don't need to move and jump at the same time. Although it has a trigger, so maybe you're jumping with the trigger, but it looks like it works for that. But going back to Zelda, to your point. They say The Legend of Zelda will be fully playable, or are these your words? Will be fully playable in virtual reality via the soon-to-be-released level of VR. Fully playable in VR. And that's the one you're right. I'm like, there's no strap. So is the assumption, I guess, that you just like play it really briefly and then your arm gets tired?
I guess.
I mean, because it's safer. No, I mean, you got to remember, Nintendo goes way back to, they got sued, right? The Mario Party debacle. People got blisters on their hands from like, you were encouraged to mash the sticks and play all these games and people got blisters and were...
I never heard about this.
Oh, yeah. And they had to issue
Blister
gloves.
Blistergate, huh?
Actually had to... Oh, gloves? It's amazing. Look it up. So it goes way back. This is like 2004 or whenever. A long time, but they were getting tons of like I think lawsuits and complaints. They had to actually release gloves so you didn't encounter that. So I mean they're very careful when they think about this stuff, and yeah, I looked it up. Samsung's recommended age was around 13.
Okay.
And I think VR says 12, so right, it is not for everybody. I think they take that into account here, but as an adult, how do you feel? I think, like, you've probably already said it here, but, like, you're like,
here's
I don't
I
know, why?
I want Breath of the Wild VR. I think that sounds really cool. I don't want Breath of the Wild VR in Nintendo Labo VR. If I could pick, I would say that it would be good for them to partner with someone like a Samsung and put a Gear VR mode out, or maybe with an Oculus or a Vive. And I know that that's not who they normally partner with.
Wait, so why do you
with.
Say that? Because the technology of the Switch itself, or just the Labo lenses?
The Labo lenses,
okay,
purely.
That, yeah.
Yeah, because if they did some kind of a hybrid Gear VR, right, like where you would slide your phone in, that you could slide just the... without the Joy-Cons on, put that in, like that would be cool. Or if they made a special Labo VR that's maybe not cardboard on my face, I could be into that. I just like, I love the idea of doing virtual reality with Nintendo titles, because I think Nintendo inherently is so whimsical with their IP that virtual reality sounds like a perfect fit, just not like this.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think this is their just first step. Seeing how it goes. They already know they're not a market leader. I mean, they're not releasing clearly right now dedicated peripheral. So it doesn't like totally surprise me. They're kind of toying with it. It's like voice chat on the consoles, Andrea. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? Like, why is it like locked and hidden? And like, it's just the way Nintendo does stuff sometimes. They don't really do it until they need
Nintendo.
It. Yeah, lulls, all the lulls. But I'm with you. Their IP would be really awesome. Mario alone, and that's what I thought of, was Lucky's Tale. I was like, oh, man. You know, when I saw Lucky's Tale, well, the first thing I thought of was, like, Banjo and Conker and stuff because of the style. But then I was like, man, Mario would be so cool. That's one of the first VR games that I'd seen, and that was quite a while ago now. And from the outside, I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a platformer. And then I put the goggles on and I actually had that wow moment. I'm like, oh, wait, I just like look all around the world. Like, I don't have to control the camera. And to be able to do that in these games and stuff could be really cool. Just imagine, it's Star Fox, okay? Star Fox VR, Let's go. Oh, Metroid. Of course.
The list could go on, friend. Could go on. Well, we'll hold out our hopes that maybe someday there'll be some proper VR. Or maybe Nintendo Labo will surprise us all and be completely fantastic and wonderful. We will find out at the end of April. All right, next up. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are under investigation for consumer rights violations.
Da-da-da.
Yeah, thank you for the dramatics.
Bum, bum, bum.
So this write-up comes from Hayden Taylor over at GamesIndustry.biz. The Competition and Markets Authority has launched an investigation into multiple business practices of Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, responsible for preventing anti-competitive business activities in the UK. The CMA announced today that it has written to PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo requesting information about online gaming contracts. The CMA intends to examine whether the contract terms are fair, how easy it is to cancel a pre-order or obtain a refund, and how the auto-renewal process is regarding things like regular reminders and default settings. It is also calling on consumers to get in touch and share their experiences. Currently, the CMA has no view on whether the companies are in violation of the consumer protection law, though enforcement action could be taken if the practices are misleading or their terms are unfair. Rollover contracts are becoming more and more commonplace, and it's essential that they work well for customers, said CMA Chief Executive Andrea Coscelli.
Great name.
Coscelli? Our investigation will look into whether the biggest online gaming companies are being fair with their customers when they automatically renew their contracts and whether people can easily cancel or get a refund. Should we find that the firms aren't treating people fairly under consumer protection law, we are fully prepared to take action.
Yeah, and that's what I was like. I was like, I see the story, and is it like, where is it coming from? Now, do they do this sort of annually to sort of just rattle the cages and make sure that people know that they're really paying mind to it? That that when the story gets picked up by someone fairly reputable in the business, that they're like, yep, we're just doing our job, and maybe they're fine. Or do you think that there's an actual reason for the investigation?
Generally, when a law person, whether that be, you know, a law person.
Wait,
I was looking
lawyer?
For the word and it didn't come to my mind.
You got up
I'm,
early.
I'm
Give
thinking
her some
about
credit.
Like an like somebody that works on an oversight committee or some kind of bureau that manages regulations, or maybe they're actually a legislator, like a, like here in the United States, if they were like a senator or a congressperson. Those people generally are motivated to initiate action because constituents are complaining. And
yeah,
the complaints
normally.
That we've seen more and more over the last year are really just parents complaining about their kids playing Fortnite. So it's like, you think about how parents really led the charge back in the day against companies like Apple for predatory monetary practices in the App Store that allowed children to spend all this money without any kind of restrictions. And now we have all of these fail safes in place. And so maybe something like that is happening in the UK. And, you know, if you guys have heard something specifically relating to this, I didn't find a follow up piece that kind of correlates this. But maybe there's an outrage in the UK among parents who are saying, my kids are spending too much of my money on these contracts and these subscription services.
Yeah,
and
maybe it's
they're so prevalent now, not just in video games, but in media at large, that these automatically renewing subscriptions seem to be virtually everywhere.
Yeah, and who knows? Like, they've got a lot of stuff going on with their, over there, like the Article 13 stuff and, well, the Brexit. Maybe it's coming up for some combined reasons of they're looking deeply into the whole world of video games, and not that Brexit and video games are connected, but
I wouldn't draw that.
It could be that.
No.
But what I will say is, like, I mean, that's fine. I don't have a problem with any of this. Like, it's what you're getting at, which is, remember, sometimes, you know, giving people some credit, it's not like, well, sometimes it is predatory and it's intentional. Sometimes it's literally just like the system has a checkbox, but they put something on by default.
Right.
And suddenly they're like, well, you didn't uncheck it. And it's like, well, wait a second. Now you want me to be responsible because my kid installed the game, but you checked a box by default and they read these terms. So yeah, it's to keep us from running into that your battle pass renews or something. And it's like, wait a second. Like, that's not cool. I never signed up for that.
The weird part about this story that feels a little fishy is that I feel like most of these companies have been through this rigmarole already, and that there's always a plethora of warnings before you put your credit card information in that you have to agree to do automatic renewals. And from my personal experience, when I've canceled automatic renewals, it hasn't been challenging. But again, everybody's experience is different. Have you ever had difficulty with one of your gaming subscriptions, getting it canceled or saying, I don't want this anymore and
getting
a refund?
Totally. I can't point to anything specifically, but I remember seeing some check boxes. So, like, I saw them. I'm like, no. Like, why is that on? You know? I think some things it seems like, well, you agreed to the terms and the boxes were already checked. That's the problem, is they sort of were allowed for a period of time to get away with things like that, where it's like, well, there was an agreed term sheet and two check boxes, but they were already checked. I didn't check them, you know? And so making sure that people aren't doing stuff like that, and it can play into, who knows, maybe it's other stuff, just like taking information. Is it EULA laws or whatever that like storing your information? There's a lot of protections now to try to keep, software makers like this from making those kinds of mistakes. So I don't have a problem with the investigation. I mean, on the whole, sounds good. It's like check in, make sure, especially the stores, that there's nothing in the stores that either are intentional or that they're even missing, because there's a lot of pages and features that are causing these problems. So, it's good for us. I don't see why this is bad for us at this time. Unless
I don't think it's bad at all. It just kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit.
Like, where did it come from? Well, that's what gets me. I'm like, well, what is there? Is there a big thing that we missed, that was a game that came out or whatever it was that caused an uprise in this? But no, other than, like you said, sometimes on mobile, they still run into issues where it's like, I don't know how I was reflecting on Jack Black has Jablinski Games, he shared a story he was on one of the talk shows out there, Jimmy Fallon or something. But anyway, he was, even in this day and age, like one of his kids like bought a ton of stuff and there was like no limits and like the way that it was set up. I mean, it was kind of unfair, but he had to like write in a case to get his money back.
Like a letter?
Yeah, he had to like write in and say, hey, this is not cool. My kid spent $1,200 and like, okay, yikes. Maybe he had this turned on, but that it's unreasonable that the game even allowed you to do that was what his argument was, because it was designed for kids and something like that. And so it's stuff like that that maybe seems subtle, but I think that's where you step in with these measures that it says, are you sure?
Yeah,
and
of course.
We've seen more of that. Are you sure you want to do this? And it's trying to stop you, but I think that's fair. It's like, maybe I don't want to spend all this
money. I absolutely agree. There has to be at least a single menu.
Even as an adult.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure you want to spend this $50 like loot box pass? Are you sure?
Even this morning, like, when I was spending money in the division, I had to click yes 3 separate times before I actually could spend the money.
Yeah.
And I think those kinds of things are good.
Yeah. So hopefully it relates some of that. And anyway, it's definitely interesting. And maybe it's just to keep them on their toes, but maybe there's been some complaints.
All right. So. Well, we'll keep an eye if that CMA finds anything fishy going on.
We got our eyes on you.
All right. Next up. Kaz Hirai is retiring from Sony in June. This is a write-up from Jeff Cork over at Game Informer. And to be clear, we knew that this news was coming, but now we have a specific time frame. Nearly 1 year after stepping down as Sony's president and CEO to take on the role of Sony chairman, Kaz Hirai announced that he is retiring. The longtime employee will be leaving on June 18th, though he will continue to work with the company in an advisory capacity. Quote, since passing the baton of CEO to Kenshiro Yoshida-san last April, as chairman of Sony, I have had the opportunity to both ensure a smooth transition and provide support to Sony's management, Hirai wrote in a statement. I am confident that everyone at Sony is fully aligned under Yoshida-san's strong leadership and are ready to build an even brighter future for Sony. As such, I've decided to depart from Sony, which has been part of my life for the past 35 years. I would like to extend my warmest gratitude to all our employees and stakeholders who have supported me throughout this journey. And during that journey, Hirai was instrumental in helping to transition the PlayStation brand from second place during the PS3 era to the position the PS4 currently enjoys.
Mm-hmm. So, it's like we were talking about it, that this news came out last week, but now it has a date. The thing I find interesting is that it's the Tuesday after E3's over. Do you think he just wants to go and finish strong at E3? Like, because he's not that involved, but is it just a coincidence? But do you think he might want to, like, go?
Those sirens
visit?
Are on our end, ladies and gentlemen.
The kitchen's on fire.
I don't think it's a coincidence, even though Sony is not going to have the same type of presence that they have at E3. All eyes are on video games during E3, and so you want to make sure to get through that week with a strong presence, particularly when it comes to Wall Street and any kind of news that may or may not be coming out around there. in, any type of competitors that may be having some news that could affect Sony's overall stock price. So I think they want to just like get over that hurdle.
Yeah.
But like, let's be honest.
It could be a coincidence, but
it's really just more of a superficial thing because he's not going to be doing anything.
No, right? He's just going to be,
he's going to have full senioritis.
That's what I'm saying. I think he wants to go party at E3. That's what I'm saying.
You think he's going to come to E3 and party?
I feel like he knows a lot of people there, and you're right. Like, even better, because Sony doesn't have like as much going on, so it's even better.
He's
going
to go pal around with, with like
him and Reggie will come too. He's retiring. I forget when
he's done in April.
He's done in April. Yeah. Maybe he'll be at E3 and they just party, you know, get Howie Lincoln back. Some of the Mariners will come down and
we'll just like find them all the same lobby bar at the JW Marriott. We'll
it'll be the Biltmore, like, hey, old school. That's where they used to go. Oh, yeah, the Biltmore was Nintendo used to have its press conferences in little rooms there, which I went to some of those. It's been a while. Yeah, Kaz had been
old school, Frank.
I know. Kaz, I guess I was double checking. He started in August of 1995 at Sony Computer Entertainment, and then he was promoted to VP of Chief Operations. VP slash Chief Operations Officer in 1996. So dude's been there a very long time. And as we remember, he kind of came out of the woodwork around PS3 a lot. And that's what we talked about the last time on the show. It's just like, he's just that face you remember during that era. You know, it's like Andrew House, and you remember how often he's on stage. And then
Jack Trenton,
Sean Layden, Phil, who's now at Stadia.
Phil Harrison,
who's at Stadia. So you remember the faces, and it is sort of sentimental in that sense, even if he's frankly been kind of out of the mix for us for a while. But
I'm just going to miss the parody Twitter account.
Yeah.
It's so good. So many hot takes.
Oh, they'll probably still do something with it. So he can be retired. Jokes.
Well, the Twitter account's kind of been gone. Like,
yeah, he went dark like a while ago. He came out for something like one time just to be like, I had to comment on this, and now I'm gone again.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's still got the account, but yeah, it's just not as relevant. That is the point. Like, it was a lot about Kaz for a while, and it's just not anymore. And frankly, it's more Sean Layden more than anyone, I think, lately.
Well, and Jim and Ryan, certainly, I think we're gonna see more of
who.
Jim Ryan, he's the new president. Ryan.
I totally missed that, apparently.
He used to run the UE division, and now he's...
One of those, okay. Yeah. We'll see. That'll be the new face and maybe the new Twitter account. But again, wish Kaz well. It was a great ride.
Indeed. All right, Fran, we're about done with the Roper Report officially, but we had one little thing we wanted to sneak in.
Yeah?
Because you said you saw Tim Sweeney tweeting about something?
CEO of Epic, king of Fortnite, all even above Donald Mustard himself, good friend of ours, Donald. But Tim Sweeney has been CEO of Epic for a long time. I just found this interesting. I want to read his tweets. Take it as you will. But he's responding and linking to a usgamer.net story that says the game store is spyware. Here, in fact, let me pull up the full story. The Epic Store is spyware, how a toxic accusation was started by an anti-Chinese sentiment. So there's this story to see a CEO come out of the woodwork and on top of the largest game in the world. I thought it was interesting. Tim is a very sharp guy. You don't actually hear from him that often. So here's what he had to say. And I thought it was really interesting. I support everyone's right to complain about tech industry stuff. Epic Store, with exclusive games and a Spartan feature set, is a fine target for ire. But please help separate facts and opinions from the lies about spyware and foreign control. I'm the controlling shareholder in Epic Games and have been since 1991. We have a number of outside investors now. Tencent is the largest. All of Epic's investors are friends and partners. None can dictate decisions to Epic. None have access to Epic customer data. Tencent is a Chinese company founded in 1998. CEO Pony Ma and the other co-founders played a lot of Unreal Tournament back then and visited Epic in the early 2000s. In 2012, Epic was looking to move to online games, and we invited Tencent as an investor to help us. I've never regretted it, and the recent anti-China rage doesn't change that even slightly, as it's completely unfounded. Epic has only had positive interactions with Tencent at all levels. All of Epic's big decisions are made here in the USA, and as CEO, I'm 100% responsible for them. I'm grateful for everyone who has spoken in support. I also read and respectfully consider all dissenting arguments of fact and principle. Just please keep it real. So yeah, like I actually, whether or not he's like making it up, but I mean, this is he's the CEO. You can't just like go out and say stuff like this without worrying about your investors and impact. And
right. And for context, just so people know what Fran is talking about, there was a story on US Gamer from Matt Kim, and the headline is "The Epic Game Store is Spyware: How a Toxic Accusation Was Started by an Anti-Chinese Sentiment." So, and then Matt goes on at length to call or to describe what's happening with the Epic Game Store and their history with Tencent, and kind of like the anti-China sentiment that's happening in the United States right now.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, it's really accusing them. This is the big thing that came up, is they're collecting your data, not getting your permission. They're storing your data. It goes back to some of that user agreement stuff I was talking about. So, but either way, take it as you will. We'll see how and if it develops. It's been about 17, 18 hours, so it was yesterday afternoon or something. But I actually applaud Tim for speaking out at some length and saying, look, he basically says, he's like, I know that the Epic Store doesn't have a ton of features, and I know you're suspect, but factually, can you please look at the facts if you're going to report on this stuff? And so there's always two sides to every story, but I actually applaud Tim for like speaking out and... I like to see objectivity, and I guess I'm not siding and saying, and by the way, yes, I have an Epic Store creator code. I make a small amount of money from them. So take that as you will. It's an important disclaimer. I have to make sure I keep mentioning it. It's a great promo as well. Use Fran Mirabella in Epic Store. But I applaud him for at least coming out with some objectivity and saying, I know that it's missing features, but by the way, can you check the facts? And
but
so,
what does that have to do with the issue of consumer privacy and data management?
I mean, he's just at least sharing. He sees its flaws. Mm-hmm. He also sees why it's suspect with all the anti-China sentiment. And in other words, a lot of people would be terrified to make this statement. We wouldn't hear anything. They'd ignore it.
Right.
But I think it's great that he came out and at least said something. And he is the CEO and can have some impact on it. So whether or not it's all true, and we'll see how it develops,
of course,
is different. But I like seeing some of the objectivity. I guess where I was going with this is I feel like the internet can be a very pile-on toxic place. We saw that.
Can be.
It is.
No,
so I'm not
with
defending
you,
Epic and Praxis across the board. There's always, like, yeah, we were talking, there's a Valve story going on. And
yeah, you've
got to
just decide for
happening.
Yourself, you know, like which companies you want to place your trust in. And we understand that it's becoming increasingly more difficult because you think that you've placed your trust in a company and you think that you know what the policies are. And then it feels like they're doing something scummy behind your back.
Yeah, like
you
Facebook.
Know?
I mean, yeah, it's exactly, that's the truth be told. That is probably the biggest issue is when, you know, we get a president elected and half of it apparently was because like Facebook, like, ads and stuff that are steering the populace in a certain way. And then you find out Facebook has all kinds of weird practices and storing data. But the point is we're all shook. And so, of course, when you read a story like that, you're like, oh, I bet it's true. And, you know, again, maybe there's some credence to it. We'll see how the investigation of the report goes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I could easily accept it. It's so easy to be like, oh, yep, I'm sure they are. Screw them. And they stole my data. I'm done. I'm deleting it. I'm uninstalling it. And maybe that's the safest thing to do because we've been burned. But he's just saying, make sure to like look it up thoroughly. And I'm just saying, in support of that, maybe take more than one source. Do the Jason Schreier where he has 19 sources for the Anthem story.
Or read your EULAs. Read your terms and conditions. Yeah. Read the privacy statements. I mean, what's been great about what's happened with the legislation over the last couple of years, both here in the United States, but more importantly in the European Union, is that it's really forced a lot of these companies to be incredibly transparent with their privacy and data policies. And I know it can be really dense, but if you those agreements, but if your privacy is that important to you and your data is that important to you, please like read the things before you click the yes, I agree box.
So,
I mean, I don't really care that much, so I just click it.
Well,
I just
see,
go on with
that's
my business. But
time out on that and flag on the play because I agree. Yeah, do your diligence. That's your job. But it goes back to the discussion we just had.
Right.
You know, first of all, those agreements are insanely long.
Right.
Sometimes they actually force you to scroll.
To be clear, I'm not giving these companies a pass. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
Like,
but I'm saying
they have to do their due diligence, and we as consumers also have to do ours.
Yes,
we don't get a pass because they have to put a lot of legal speak in the agreement to make sure that they're following the letter of the law, which is really the problem here, is that law is just really complicated.
Yeah, those law persons.
Law persons.
But my point is sometimes it is like asking too much, and that is where we step in and say, time out. this agreement shouldn't even say that.
So what are you proposing then? What do you mean it's asking too much?
All I'm saying is to say, make sure to read your legal agreements. I mean, there are literally, I guarantee
you. You think that's asking too much?
Yes, 90%.
You think asking people to read the documents that they agree to is asking too much?
The legal documents, yes. And I've dealt with tons of them professionally and personally.
I guess we just do not agree here.
That's why it's good. That's why I want to go. I want to run with this. I don't agree that because you basically need to hire a lawyer for these.
No, you don't.
Yes, you totally do. There's so much legalese. Meaning I refute that they're intuitive and simple to read through and yes or no.
Did not say that they were simple. Yeah. Did not say they were intuitive.
Thought it'd be close.
But does it's not mean that you can't do it. Does not mean that it's impossible. It does not mean that you shouldn't read it.
I'm not saying we shouldn't read it.
You want like a paint by numbers, like terms and services agreement?
No, duh. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, yes, we're in agreement. You have a responsibility as well. And that's what Tim is ultimately saying. Like, please check your facts. But when you get into reading agreements, I just would caution that it's, I just don't think it's as simple as that. That's all I'm saying.
I think my
point,
Fran,
it's sort of insane how much they put in these agreements.
No, I agree. That's why most people don't read them. I actually talked to a lawyer at a PAC South panel a couple of years ago. We ended up on the same panel together, and she told a story about how she was writing the terms and services for a small indie dev company, and they buried in the terms and services a clause that said the first person to send a actual handwritten letter to this address would receive a $10,000 prize.
Wow.
And it took 6 months before somebody actually sent the letter.
Dude,
because nobody was reading the agreements. My only thing is Van Halen's
green M&Ms.
Right. Well, my point is, like,
I think that's,
you can't just say that people should be given a free pass. They shouldn't have to read these things. I mean, it can't go both ways.
I'm not saying that. It's not.
It sounded like you were a friend.
Nah, it just sounds like you're saying, yo, everybody, you're saying you don't read them because they are insanely
long. If you're going to get your panties twisted about your privacy and about your data, then maybe you should read the agreement that you're signing. I don't think that that's controversial, but apparently it is. I'm going to get a million and one comments about this. I already know it.
Just saying, take a second and think about what you're saying.
We gotta move on, Fran.
Okay, this is fun though.
This issue is never gonna be solved by us, but Fran, we can maybe help people by giving them some news about what's coming to the mom and grab shops.
But lawsuits are so far away. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
I actually really like the way that you do the jazz.
I don't like it. I feel it goes on forever. I think you're very good at it, Fran. I want to spice it up in the future.
All right. Out today, Super Dragon Ball Heroes World Mission on PC and Switch, Royal Roads on Xbox One, Frain, Dragon's Odyssey, I almost said Fran.
Yeah, it's Frain with an E at the end.
Is on Xbox One. Yet Another Zombie Defense HD is on Switch. Smoot's World Cup Tennis is on Xbox One. Monster Slayers is on Switch. Circuits is on Switch. Godly Corp is on Switch. Zombie Scrapper is on Switch. Vanguard Normandy 1944 is on PC. Endless Car Chase for PC. Killer Chambers for PC. And Pirates Outlaws for PC. Plus, for season pass holders, Shazam! Movie Level Pack 1 is available today for Lego DC Super Villains. With a DLC pack, the Shazam Movie Level Pack 2, available on April 23rd. The first Shazam Movie Level Pack offers players a chance to master the powers of Billy Batson and Freddie Freeman to fight against the evil Dr. Savannah.
Alliteration names.
Next, Dodge Roll Games and Meat Shield Devolver Digital today released Enter the Gungeon's final free content update in A Farewell to Arms, a bittersweet send-off that stuffs new playable characters, guns, and more into the beloved quest for gun capable of killing the past. Now live on Steam. New dates. We've got... Oh, yeah. So this is...
This one was interesting.
Yeah, so I saw this story everywhere. So this write-up comes from IGN. Super Meat Boy Forever, the sequel to 2010's punishing platform modern classic, has been delayed past its April 2019 release window. Announced by Team Meat on Twitter, the news came in the form of a note reading, "We've been knocking out the last bits of Super Meat Boy Forever at record speeds while keeping a healthy and sustainable pace. We are going to keep that pace, which means we will not hit our April 2019 release. Sorry about that. We could have sacrificed our minds, bodies, and social lives to make April 2019, but that's stupid. Team Meat isn't some studio owned by an evil asshat corporation that has say over what we do and how we do it. We are fortunate enough to have control over how we work and choose not to run ourselves into the ground. Good for you, Team Meat."
standing up for their own mental health and sanity in a culture we just talked about the other day. It's
absolutely.
Like, there's time to grind and meet fiscal years, and some companies are beholden to that. Yeah. But
and like we talked about, and I said, when you need to take a break, ask for a break. Team meets say, we need a break.
Yeah. And I loved how they put it. I mean, obviously they have a lot more freedoms. And that is sort of the dangers you get into if you read the big Anthem EA story. There's a lot of people blaming EA, but then you see there's accusations that it was tough at BioWare, and people needed mental breaks. But the point is, we don't like hearing about that in the industry. So I applaud them for just being straight up like, yo, we're just taking another few months.
And technically we don't have the new date because they didn't announce a new release window. It's just, they did say it wouldn't be very long though. So hopefully keep your fingers crossed it'll happen maybe May or June.
That's the sense I got was maybe just a couple months.
And especially if they said they could have made April possible, but they didn't want to die. It sounds like they are most of the way there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a title I feel like, and hopefully I'm not missing the mark on this, because of personal preference, but it's a little different than when you look forward to say Red Dead in November or October or whatever, and like you Call of Duty, and like before the end of the year, you're like really counting on some cyclical big hits or whatever it is. And this is like, I feel like this could come out anytime. Like, yeah, we've already waited a ton of time, so what's another few months? And that's fine. It'd be different if they're like, we're gonna spend another 2 years. That would be a bummer. They're still entitled to it, but it's not like that at all.
Hopefully. Indeed. Deals of the day. Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, is free to play on Xbox One for Gold members only and Steam this weekend. The bundle is also discounted in the PlayStation and Microsoft stores on Steam and Best Buy, where you can currently buy it for $15. Free-to-play weekend deal has begun and ends Sunday, April 7th at 10 a.m. Pacific Time for Steam, and Monday, April 8th at 12 a.m. Pacific Time for Xbox.
Yeah. And by the way, I believe Witness is free on the Epic Store.
Oh, yes, I did see that, the Epic Games.
I don't know if you guys mentioned that, but I think we mentioned it
earlier in the week.
Okay.
Because it's been running for a couple of days.
It's crazy.
Thank you
it's really
for the
awesome.
Reminder. That is an excellent game. All right, now it's time for reader mail, where you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and where you can also get this show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by 23andMe. With 23andMe's health and ancestry service kit, you can explore 125 plus personalized genetic reports that may reveal the link between your DNA and your health, traits, and more, including your chances of developing certain diseases. 23andMe recently released their newest health report on type 2 diabetes, which tells you your genetic likelihood for developing the disease and gives you personalized results and tools that could help with prevention. Diabetes is a growing public health challenge. 1 in 3 adults in the United States has pre-diabetes, but 90% of those pre-diabetes don't know they have it. Type 2 diabetes is influenced by genetics. It is not just lifestyle and weight, and type 2 diabetes is a condition that typically develops as we get older and is caused by many factors, including diet, lack of proper exercise, weight gain, and of course, our genes. 23andMe's type 2 diabetes report offers insight into your genetic likelihood for developing type 2 diabetes and empowers you with personalized results and tools that may help you prevent the disease. The report was developed by 23andMe scientists using data and insights gathered from more than 2.5 million 23andMe customers who consented to participate in research. Like Greg, he consented to participate in research, and he used it to find out where his ancestors are from. And spoilers.
Me too.
It's from Europe.
Yep.
No way.
Yeah, I mentioned this on the show the other day. I use it, and I was really, very happy with it and impressed, learned a lot about myself. But what's really cool is as people use it, you get the matches to a lot of your relatives. And suddenly it's like, whether they're third cousins or first removed cousins, whatever, you get linked up in there with people you've never known. That's another cool feature in addition to the health features and stuff. And I found out I was apparently like 5%. Two things. One's Iberian, and then the other one is Western Asian and North African.
Interesting.
And I found out that actually came from the Mirabella side because my grandfather's sister is in the system, and they got linked up, and I was like, wait, she's pretty old. But her daughter had put her in the system, and very, very cool. Very detailed report. So,
genes, man. We all got them.
Yep.
If you want to try 23andMe's Health and Ancestry Service Kit, you go to 23me.com/games. That's the number 23andme.com/games. Again, 23andme.com/games. Whoa. There's an alarm going off.
That means it's time for the next ad, Andrea.
It's time to talk about Skillshare. It's an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. Tim used the classes for visual effects to make the hype trailer for Kinda Funny 4.0. Wasn't that a great trailer, everybody? Mm-hmm. Premium membership gives you an unlimited access. You can join the classes and communities that are just right for you. Whether you want to fuel your curiosity, creativity, or even career, Skillshare is the perfect place to keep you learning and thriving. Highlights from one or more classes partners found valuable, and that would be a good fit for their audience. Greg has not fixed this in the script. Skillshare is also super affordable with an annual subscription, less than $10 a month. Join more than 7 million creators learning with Skillshare. The first 500 of our subscribers to use the link in the description will get 2-month free trial. So if you guys head to the description, you will find a link for Skillshare and you will get 2 months free to test it out. Maybe you'll make something amazing for whatever podcast or YouTube channel or Twitch animation you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Skillshare. Learn stuff. I added that. That's not their official slogan.
But it happens.
All right, Fran, let's talk about reader mail. So first up. Let's see here. We don't have too much time. I'm going to go just a few minutes over since we started a little bit late. Bear, can you give me the thumbs up if that's okay? Just a few. Just a few minutes?
Yeah, a couple minutes.
Okay, thank you. You're the best, Bear.
You can't stop us. I think you're pretending.
I'll stop the fucking stream right now, Fran.
Come on up, Bear.
Don't do it.
Okay, just do it.
Heather asks, hey, Fran and Andrea, happy Friday. Thinking about recently hyped games like the Division 2 and Apex Legends brought up a question I've been pondering for a while. When is it too late to join the hype train? When does someone fall too far behind to join the crowd or maybe more importantly, be competitive with games like this? And how do you balance that with a gaming backlog and not pre-ordering these games? Have a great weekend and keep up the great work. Danke from Germany, Heather.
Oh, bitchin. I like this conversation a lot because it applies to us so much in the world of Destiny and Division, and you feel like you miss stuff. There's the one conversation which I feel like is the guilt tripping and are you caught up? That's different than what Heather's asking. So what I would say is it firstly does just depend on the crowd. Can you actually go into Division 2 when you decide to pick it up and matchmake with people or easily find people to play with? Because I feel like Division 2, although it can be played solo, the matchmaking element, I believe, is pretty intrinsic to it. And if that were to fall off or to be long queues, you have maybe missed the train and you've got to be careful of that. Unfortunately, there's no way to predict it other than make sure you're around for some of the bigger releases. We know April 25th, the raid is coming out. 8-person raids are coming out. So the community will be on by then. So you at least had within the first 30 days some places to hit. But on the difficulty side, I don't feel like you ever have to worry about that. I mean, yes, Apex has gone from playable for me to it's a lot more brutal, but you just got to practice more, that's all. But it's still a lot of fun. I don't mind losing in Apex. What about you?
No, I'm with you. It's tough when you talk about multiplayer games that are really dependent on the server population. So ideally, you want to do just like Fran said, to log in and play while some kind of content drop is happening, because then you'll see bigger pushes. I know specifically for me, whenever I want to jump back into Rainbow Six Siege, I try to time it around like a new operator release or a new season or any kind of specialty event like they did for the April Fool's event this week, because you know that that'll grab people's attention and you'll be able to play with some of the people who aren't like the professional level of players who just crush you otherwise, because scaling is a real thing, particularly in PvP. It can be quite brutal. I know I've felt that personally when I've gone into Crucible in Destiny 2, when there hasn't been like Iron Banner running or something like that. And you know, back when Trials was a thing, I mean, if you weren't in Trials at the beginning, you ain't in Trials. Like, it's just, it's impossible. Those crews are so surgical at what they do that it makes it really tough to play. And so I would say either look for specific content drops that the publisher is publicizing, or find an LFG group. The Kinda Funny Best Friends are a great source for that. You can head to the subreddit, you can head to the Facebook group, you can head to the Patreon page. There's lots of really cool folks there. Also, the What's Good Games community has an awesome Discord. Yep. I know Kinda Funny has the Discord as well.
Me too.
And Fran,
FM3.
What's your Discord?
Discord.gg/FM3.
There you go. So we've got lots of places for you to find people. And even if it's a game that maybe isn't hype right now. If you jump into any of our Discords and say, hey, I'm looking for people to run this, a lot of people will be like, all right, I'll boot it back up. I'll update it. Let's do it. Because our communities are just real cool like that. So hopefully, even if you miss the hype train, you can still get in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's see here. I'm thinking this one. Billy the Door writes in and says, man, has this week been rough in terms of video game discourse? I mean, that's an understatement. Mm-hmm. I think after a tough week like this, we should lighten the mood with something coming that you're excited for. I'm excited to meet all the best friends in NYC all weekend, starting with my victory in our community Smash tournament. Oh, okay.
Throwing in a little brag.
Listen, right. you have to put it out into the universe in order for it to become
humble
true.
Brag, man.
So I appreciate your optimism,
not so
Billy.
Brag.
What is something coming up that you're excited for? Thanks, P.S. Andrew. It was great meeting you this past weekend at PAX. Oh, it's nice to meet you too, Billy.
In general, things we're excited for, huh?
Yeah, what are you excited for?
I like that. Like, ended on a stay classy.
Yeah.
San Francisco. Definitely the Division. Obviously, I'm stoked to get in there, play Tier 5, but I've been catching up on the Marvel stuff, actually, and I actually found myself with true joy smiling at one of the scenes in Civil War last night with like excitement.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's my first time experiencing that, I'm now excited. And to truly feel that, it does bring me great joy. So those are just like a couple things. And then maybe not having the sniffles anymore and be able to just to go to the gym and enjoy myself.
Yeah. I'm with you about Endgame hype. I'm not going back and rewatching all of MCU because that's just too much after rewatching all of
start,
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But I am going to just rewatch all the Avengers movies.
God.
So
that's it.
Game of Thrones is so exciting.
Isn't that next week or the week after?
Yeah,
oh
the 14th.
Let's go.
Very excited for Game of Thrones in review. It will be my first appearance on an in review show, which
it's
will
be
fun.
Mondays?
Mondays. Yeah.
Right after it airs on Sunday.
So that's really exciting. Of course, I'm ready to play more in the Division 2 this weekend. I'm going to check out Borderlands. Really pumped for the UHD update they did for the Handsome Collection. It's really cool that in the deals of the day that if you guys haven't played, you can check it out. It's one of my favorite franchises of all time. I have 3 different claptraps on the What's Good set. So I really love that franchise. So those are a couple things that I'm excited for. And I got a new Brandon Sanderson book that I haven't started yet, Skyward, that I've heard is really good.
What did Brandon Sanderson write?
It's called Skyward. So he's super prolific, but most people know him through the Stormlight Archives.
That's right. Okay.
The Way of Kings is the first book. Mm-hmm. He also helped Robert Jordan finish The Wheel of Time. I'm not going to go down
you
a fantasy
this
rabbit
person,
hole.
I thought it was you brought them up before. And,
yeah.
It's fantasy fiction type stuff. Right?
Correct.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's like super nerdy fantasy books.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to starting that because I'm almost done with my reread of Oathbringer. So hopefully that brought some excitement into your life, Billy.
That's
going to do it for reader mail. Now it's time to squad up. Dan from Houston writes in and says, hello, kind of funny and best friends. I recently wrote into KFAF, the best show on the internet, asking Andy for advice on a podcast I'm starting. And now I'm asking for some help from the best friends. Join me and my friend in the shenanigan filled journey of attempting to make a podcast. Message me on Twitter or reach out to me on the kind of funny Discord, same name as Twitter. I need some more great friends in my life. Help a guy out. He's at SilverLobo21. At SilverLobo21 wants some advice on podcasting. Yeah. Well, good luck to you, Dan.
From Houston.
That's right. All right. Fran, do you have your wrong up?
I did.
All right.
Yes,
let's
take someone
a look
was
here.
Saying already, although they wrote in under the name Wham Bam. Thank you, Fran. I don't know if that's a real username. I feel like it's
of course, this is where you guys help keep us honest. If you're watching at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we ask you to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and let us know what we screwed up.
Yeah, I was already noting it across the show that what Wham Bam, thank you, Fran, says that the Breath of the Wild One Joy-Con thing and Mario was about was for accessibility and disability stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else had mentioned, it's like, no, you can play obviously with the controller because it's not going to stop you like Breath of the Wild, but you, what somebody had said, and this one may not be in here, I was reading it, I forget where, is that you set it on the table. So anyway, there's apparently like some concept that no, there's not a strap, but you just like, I don't understand what that means. You're like, I guess it tilts up or something and you lean into it. But what, anyway, maybe not a total correction. That's more of the solution I guess we're looking for, which is it's designed to be maybe set on the table. What
else?
Is
there a way for Labo to keep the Joy-Cons attached? Because I guess technically, if you're holding it to your face and the Joy-Cons are still attached, you could...
Oh, that'd be the shoulder workout of the century. Seriously, just this... Like after 2 minutes, I'd just be like, no, can't do it. I've lost all feeling in my shoulders. What else did we see might be wrong? Did they say, is Kaz's date not correct? People said, wait. They're talking about the fake account?
Yeah, the fake Kaz Harai's last tweet came out of retirement on February 21st.
That's just facts.
To
though.
Do one final farewell and the announcement of the real Kaz Harai retiring. Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Nintendo 64 party gloves
Thank
were
you,
released
Pig.
In 2000.
Also, great job earlier this week, Capitalist Pig. You crushed it.
Yeah, good job. Someone was just noting that it was 2000. I didn't say that it was for sure 2004, but thank you for providing, by the way. Yeah, quite the scandal back then.
So the nanobiologist says, in Nintendo Labo VR, the handles are the Joy-Cons. I thought in the photos that I saw that the Joy-Cons were not on the outside,
no, they
though. They were in, like, the Switch is completely inside the cardboard.
It is. So I think it's as the Switch works the way it does. I mean, it's meant to be used multiple ways. So technically, again, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. So you just hold it up, and you're right. You can just do that. There's that maybe.
But
the,
like you said, shoulder workout of the century.
Maybe. But it's a good point.
People.
We should have brought it up, which is glad. Just hold it up to your face and like.
just find a bar and put your elbows down and then put your face.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's what it was. Face that's what it? People. Sorry. That is what people were saying. And I forget
but
what
also,
I read it.
Like, no.
It's that you lean. So you do. Yeah. It was meant that you lean on the table with the handles. You hold the. That's it. Forehead.
All right. Let's
you
not wrap our heads face. Around this any longer, Fran. Let's sign off.
I didn't see anything.
And
outside.
Let people know next week. Fran and I are back on Monday, and I promise we'll have more sleep and we'll be more coherent.
I don't promise.
Tuesday,
that.
It's me and Greg. Wednesday, of course, Widow Wednesday.
Widow
Thursday,
Wednesday.
I'm back with Greg. And then Friday, of course, Tim returns. Everybody have a fantastic time at the New York meetup if you are going to the Kinda Funny World Tour. Spark joy in somebody's life this weekend. Maybe don't say anything negative on the internet and just have a good time loving the thing you love.
Be excellent to each other.
Exactly, as Greg always says. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve.